We've got a handout for today, so if you don't have it yet, they will give you one. And you may need to, I know there are a few things on there that I accidentally left out, so you'll have to write at least a couple things down. And if you've got any other, anything else that, any other notes you want to take, there should be room on them. Back side of the sheet. Let me leave some of these back here in case. Sorry. And there are handouts that Jim had prepared for up to this point in time. So if you are missing any, then there are some there. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. And thank you, Jesus.
We God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for another day, a day that we can come together and study your word, a day that we can worship you and be thankful for all the things that you bless us with, and that hope of salvation that we can have one day. It's our prayer that we not take lightly the things that we study, understand that these are commandments from you, a guideline, an outline for how we're to raise our children, how our families are supposed to look to you for strength and for guidance, and to build everything that we have on you as our foundation. Be with David as he's prepared for today, and help give him a ready remembrance for all the stuff that he has studied. Forgive us when we fall short, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. When the F5 tornado hits, what do you take with you? That's the title of this lesson, and there's lots of things that we could talk about that we're going to talk about. Come on. Okay, there you go. When the F5 tornado hits, what do you take with you? What do you take with you? It's really an important thought. I want to just think about this for just a moment. This was a curiosity of mine when I originally prepared these notes. I hear about F1, F2, F3, F4, F5 tornadoes, and I wonder what that was. So I can tell you that there is a scale called the Fujita scale that measures the strength of tornadoes. Can you imagine how they measure? What do you think?
Wind speed.
F5, the wind speed of an F5 tornado is 261 miles per hour to 318 miles per hour. So what is an F5 tornado mean? It means that it's going to cause incredible damage. And so the thing I want us to think about for just a moment is what is your F5 tornado? I'm going to tell you that they will come. You're going to have some. May not be old enough to have them yet. You're going to have them. Trust me. You're going to have them. What's an F5 tornado to us?
Death of a close relative.
Okay, death of a close relative. Death of a loved one. We have a family but had an F5 tornado visit him last night. Jim Ellen's dad passed away last night. The death of a loved one. What else? Think of anything else?
Unexpected pregnancy.
Unexpected pregnancy. Well, I don't know. That comes with blessings, man.
Not if it's your kid.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, you could be right about that. What else?
A family member falling away.
Ah, family member falling away. That's good. I'll write these down.
Infidelity of your spouse.
The what?
Infidelity in your family.
Okay. Marriage problems. Yeah, I think that's next on my list. I've got a couple that I haven't mentioned. Can you think of any others?
Loss of a job.
Loss of a job. Yep. I don't know where it is on here. I'll just go ahead and put these up. Life-threatening illness, job loss. Who's great, John?
Let's say financial problems.
Financial problems, which comes with job loss, financial disaster, loneliness. And it's not that all of these are a matter of perception. Some of these are very, very real no matter what. But what may be a problem for one person may not be so much for another, depending on what you're going through. And but these generally can be problems that just shake your whole world up. And there is, this is when the world feels like it's not steady, you're not on stable ground, you're not in control of anything. And let me tell you, right now, we're not in control of anything. We don't control anything. We just think we do. I manage my schedule at work, but I'm not in control. Because if something like one of these things happen, changes everything. Changes everything. And I have a saying that I learned from firsthand experience. Death is inconvenient. Interrupts everything. And all of these other problems are too. They shake our world. It makes us very uneasy, aside from hurting us emotionally or mentally or physically. These are things that knock us off center. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you try to say when something like a big tornado comes? What is it that you want to protect and hold close?
Your faith.
Your faith?
Family.
Your family. Spouse and your kids. How many times have you seen people standing amid their house in shambles, but they say, but we have our, we saved our family. And then you feel like, well, that was enough. Because everything else after that, they are just things. I don't want to offend anybody when I say this, but there's nothing else equal to your spouse and your children, not your dog, not your cat. You have to make a choice between those when you're leaving the house. Take the kids and your spouse. And if you have to leave something behind, leave a pet. The only reason I say that is because I've heard people say before, I'd rather save my pet. Well, I'm just telling you, they don't have a soul. Your spouse and your children do. And so, after that, after we save our spouse and our children, what is there after that that's worth so much? These are the things that we really have to be sure we save. I mean, if you've got time and you can save something else, then that's fine. The house is burning. when my grandparents, this is long before me, but my grandparents in the 40s, their house burned. And my grandfather was so panicked, he picked the first thing up he could reach. It was a pan of gravy that was cooking on the stove. Great habit, but pan of gravy. But you couldn't go in after that. You know, when you think of things that you want to say, photos, you can take photos of your children now and you can carry them all around, thousands of them, right here in your pocket. But if I wanted to have, say, pictures of my children when they were very young, I can't. I can't save what their voices sound like. That time's gone. Past. It's past. You can do that now. If you want to hear what it was like when your child was just chirping and now they're getting ready to graduate from high school or something like that, you can hear those things. You can say those memories. But there's some things that we can't. And so I want us to think about, first of all, who our children are. Let's remember who our children are. Our children are a blessing from God. And there's Bible that tells us that. In Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, the psalmist says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Kids are a blessing from God. They really are. They really are. And we never understand what kind of blessing they are until God gives us one. When we have one, then we realize. You never know how much your parents love you until you have kids of your own. I used to tell my children that when they would be so angry at me. They thought that I must not like them. I would just treat them poorly. And I told them then, they didn't understand it then, they understand it now. You never know how much your parents love you until you have children of your own. And here's the great irony. To me, it's the great irony. Is even after you understand that, even when you have kids of your own, and you can look back at your parent now and appreciate how much they must have cared for you. I don't know if it changes. I don't know if it changes how we respond to our parents. I don't know if it changes that. But we realize what great, I'm not saying that it shouldn't. I'm just saying I don't know if that changes because we've got routines and busy schedules and all these things and our kids to take care of and all the stuff that we've got to do. So I don't know. I don't know if it changes that. I guess it's really irrelevant for the purpose of this discussion. Somebody look up Psalm 113 and read verse 9. Is that big enough for y'all to see back there? Y'all see that okay? It's on the piece of paper. Somebody read that.
"He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord."
Okay. We even have stories in the Bible about, remember Hannah, who prayed to God, "Please let me have a child. Father, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him to you." And that ended up being who? Samuel. Samuel. She dedicated her son. After he was weaned, she took and gave her son to Eli. Wow. That's trusting, wasn't it? That was being, she promised she would do it, and she did it. Let me just ask this question. Why do we have kids? Why do we have children? Most of the time, it's a decision we intentionally make. Why do we choose to have children? You ever thought about that? Anybody say? I'm telling you, I made that choice. We even timed it. We timed it. This is how foolish and naive my first Debbie and I work. We realized this would be a good time for the child to be born, so this is where we're going to start trying to have one. Does that sound crazy? I mean, does that crazy? That's how you plan, but that's what our expectation was. And it worked. I don't know if it ever worked again, but it worked. And, but we knew we wanted to have kids. Why do we want to have kids? Why do we want to have children? I thought, as I thought about this, I thought, anybody got a 3 or 4 or 5 year old? They have a doll. Baby doll. Little baby doll. Now, I don't think little boys carry around baby dolls. The little girls sure do. Well, they're probably mimicking. They're mimicking what mom may do with kids or even dad, with other children in your household, or what they see. But from a very early time, we have this image of having children. And why is it that why do we want children? And the reason I ask that question is to ask this. Why did God create us? That's a thought-provoking question. It's a thought-provoking question. Did God love us only after he created us? And it had to be before. If that were the case, it had to be before sin, because after that, he pronounced a bunch of punishment for his children. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we have children because we want to have if I were to quote a friend of mine, calls him Snot Dollar. I won't. I won't. But we want to have these children that are going to grow up to be, they're going to be us. Really. Really.
So in the children's class right now, they're talking about the Bible as a whole. And when we were doing the lesson last night, we were reviewing and it talked about how God created Adam and Eve because we wanted a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking the exact same thing from this lesson. You know, kids, because
we want a relationship.
Mm-hmm. We're making God's image, so.
Yeah. But, anybody ever, do you think about this? I mean, if you don't have kids right now, you may have some that are very young. Do you ever think about the future? 20 years from now, what's it going to be like? And are concerned for your kids? I'm concerned for my grandchildren. I can just tell you, I'm concerned for my grandkids. But that wouldn't keep me from, if I were newly married, it wouldn't keep me from having children. Because I would plan to try to insulate them from the bad things of the world. But, that's really what the whole point of this is. There are people that don't consider children to be gifts from God. They don't. There are some people in this in the world, in this country, who, when they learn that they're going to have one, they kill it. Just imagine. Kill it. Murder. Don't consider it a gift from God. And sometimes they may come unexpected. They may come like we don't. It may come in a way or under circumstances that we didn't plan on or we don't want. But that's not the child's fault. We can never forget children are a gift from God. Can't ever forget that. They are a gift from God. And so we have to remember that. Some people consider children like pets. And I'm not trying to sound ugly when I say that, but children are not just for our enjoyment and entertainment. We can enjoy them, although there can be some times when you don't. I'm sure if you've been a parent for very long, there are times when you don't enjoy it. Because parenting can be very difficult. They can put us in the position of having making very difficult decisions that we may not want to make, but we know it's best for them. So it is not always an enjoyable. Parenting is not always enjoyable. Parenting is not always entertaining. Although our kids can do lots of things to entertain us. We can sit and watch them do silly things and we can just be so entertained by, we'll say, oh, I put it on video. You know, there are all kinds of things like that. And it's entertaining just because they're our children and we love them. They may entertain us sometimes, but that's not why we have them. Parenting is a full-time job. It's a full-time job, not a part-time job. And it is not easy. It requires us to do things when we are tired, when we don't want to get up and have to go take care of something, when there are other things that we may need to do. There may be more that we may think this is more, I've got to get that done, but I got to do this now. Parenting is a difficult job, and we can't be lazy parents and be successful parents at the same time. We can't be. So, we've got to remember that our children require training, and that doesn't mean it happens by accident. It's not mindless. It's not drifting supervision. It's not mediocre, lackadaisical effort. It is intentional, on purpose training. Let me just ask this question. Who in here thinks that if you do nothing yourself and do not send your child to school to learn to read, you do nothing to ensure that the child learns to read, who thinks that they're going to learn to read? Who thinks they'll be reading? Nobody. We know better than that. Because if we don't teach, then they won't learn. And it's the same with everything. If we don't teach, they won't learn. And so we've got to be very intentional as parents. And so the thing that, the way I want to describe that here, at least for purposes of our class, is we need to look at the end of the process. We have to look at the end of the process, not just the beginning. It's at the end of the process. We have to parent with the end in mind. Let me ask a different question. Who would just simply say, let's build a house, I'll go to Lowe's and pick up some stuff. And we just start hammering stuff together. Well, how big is it going to be? I don't know. I'm just going to start making. Well, where are the rooms? How many rooms? I don't know. Where do we feel good about it? Let's just start making. Nobody does that. In fact, if you want to look at a house plan, what's the first thing that you see when you are thumbing through? What's the Max Southern Living? Always kind of beautiful house, homey looking place on the front cover, and then they tell you all about it inside the magazine. What is the first thing you see when you're trying to pick out a house? What's the first thing you look at? It may not be the last thing you look at, but what's the first thing you look for?
Blueprints.
Do what?
Blueprints.
Blueprints? What would be
the floor plan.
Floor plan? See, I'm too simple. What were you going to say?
The price?
That never kept me from looking at a house. Maybe it kept me from buying it, but it never kept me from looking at it.
The elevations of it.
Here's what I think is, I always look at there's the front of it. They're going to show you. This is what it looks like. You see what you'd see from the curb. And that's the end product. Now then we do look at blueprints and stuff like that. So that's really pretty, but it ain't going to work. We'll look at blueprints, or we may look at price or things like that. And there may be other decisions, but typically, if you want to look in a book of house plans, what's the first image that you see when you're looking at, when you turn and look at? There's always going to be a picture of the finished product on the page. There may be a floor plan with it, because that's convenient to, that's a really convenient place for them to put it. But we always look and see, what's it going to look like when we get finished? And we build with the end in mind. We have to parent with the end in mind. And it is goal-oriented parenting. It's far-sighted parenting. We have to look ahead at what we want to accomplish. We can't do it like saying we build a house. I'm just going to start nailing boards together. We never start a big project like that. And at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, a house may cost a lot, but it's not worth more than your kids. If the house were to burn and you got out with your children, you'd be happy. You'd be satisfied. Our kids are always going to be worth more to us than the house. The reason I say that is that means we need to make sure that we pay more attention to them than we do all the things in our lives that are things. Because our kids are the most precious. And so we've got to treat them like they are the most precious. Here's a passage of scripture that teaches us to parent with the end in mind. It may be the most, verse of scripture that designs for us child rearing more than any other. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. You got today? Go ahead.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
There's a whole lot to that passage of scripture. Short, but there's a whole lot to it. And it means we should aim our child rearing at a target that is some distance in the future. It's like when we think about we're not just going to shoot in the ground right here. When we're figuring out what we want our child to look like at the end, what we got to do is we got to shoot off out in the distance. That's where we need to think about what is it that we want to accomplish. We have to see the end from the beginning. It's I mentioned it's like building a house, like going on a trip. If you want to go on a trip, Debbie and I have talked about doing this before, but we never have enough time to do this. Not right now. Maybe one of these days we will. Let's just get your car and take off. That sounds like that'd be fun to us. And we'd stop where we wanted to along the way. But we can't raise our children that way. We have to identify the destination, that is, fix the goal for them, plan the trip, and then while we're on the road, we can't say, where am I going? Where am I going? Even if we took off and just decided to turn left or right, whenever we took that fancy, eventually we'd have to say, well, where are we headed? And so we have to parent like we would plan a journey. And so the question is, for you and your spouse, is do you have a vision for your kids? That's what I want us to talk about. Do you have a vision for your children? Because we're going to talk here in a minute about what it is. Do you have that vision in the front of your mind as you're raising your kids day to day? And I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty. This is easy for me to talk about this on this side of parenting. Nobody ever told me this before. I started having my kids and getting into the busyness of life when you're going through your younger years. Nobody ever told me this, and I wasn't as good at it as I should be. There's lots of things for us to think about. What do we hold in the front of our minds when we're talking about taking care of our children? Here's the thing. Jim mentioned this last Sunday. When it comes to parenting, I don't know if it's like this for you, but I always thought this. Well, I've got more time. We've got more time to talk about that. I don't have to do that right now. I can do that later. But I'm telling you, suddenly you turn around and they're sending out their high school graduation invitations. It was just like that. It is so fast. And, you know, I can tell you, we've talked about this before. The older you get, the faster time moves. That's the way it seems. And you know, I hear every older person say that there must be some truth to it. We all have 24 hours, but I'm going to tell you, it seems like they move a whole lot faster when I'm this age than 20 years ago for me. That's what it seems. May not be so, but that's the way it seems. And I'm going to tell you, I tell people this in court all the time, and they've got young children and they're fighting over different things, I tell them, you just blink your eyes twice, you're going to be finished. And so I just convey that to you now, and you just have to take it for what it's worth. But time will move very quickly, and there is no time to waste. What are your goals for your kids? And I'll get a couple of answers here, I'm sure. What are your goals for your kids? Nobody has it.
Grow up and get a good job.
Okay. Oops, I misspelled that. A good job.
Stay in the faith.
Be faithful.
Make a wise decision with who they marry.
Pardon?
Make a wise decision with who they marry.
Marry wisely. How about better mark? Okay.
Be good humans.
Pardon?
Just be good people. Be good people.
Good people? How about this? A good citizen. What else?
Be good parents.
Be good parents. To grow up, to raise good kids. Do that after they marry wisely, right? What?
Become a Christian.
Yep, they got to do that before they do that, huh? What else?
Go to heaven.
Go to heaven. Anything else? Okay. I want us to consider some things. Ultimately, we think of heaven as the ultimate goal. We think of heaven as the ultimate goal. But in the meantime, we have to make them godly adults. And I can't say that one is... I can't say that being a godly adult is more important than heaven. I'm going to tell you why I say that here in a minute. These are things that we can identify as things that we want to make sure that our kids do. This is, it's an ultimate thing, and of course, we build on other things to get to that, don't we? But I'm going to tell you, this is the single most important. this is the single most important, because that some of you have heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again because I think it's important for me to say it. Most of you know that I lost my first son, Adam, in 1999. It's going to be 20 years, September 19th. 20 years. I was getting ready to say, I look back and I wonder, where did the last 20 years go? Debbie and I will have been married 14 years in July. 14 years. Hard to believe. And the reason I mention Adam is so you know the pretext of what I'm getting ready to say. Of all the dreams that I had for my firstborn son, everything I wanted him to have, I wanted him to have a good education, I wanted him to be a responsible citizen, I wanted him to have a good job. I tried to do everything I could to cause those things to happen. But I'm going to tell you, there isn't a single thing on this planet that I gave to him. Nothing. His education, vacations, his clothes, his car. Nothing that I gave to him. He has nothing. The only thing that I gave him that lasts was to teach him to love and obey God. And he died a faithful Christian. That's the only thing that matters. It is the only thing that matters. And the reason I mention this to people over and over and over is because it's so important to recognize. I would not have recognized it if I had not lost him. The same thing is true for Debbie with her Gabriel. It's a lesson that we learn at a hard time, in a hard way. But it's an important lesson for us to share. I feel like it's important for me to say that so I can say to you. So the bottom line is, the most important thing that you will do until you get your children up, and not even out of the home, because you're still going to be responsible for them, you're still going to love them the same way. It may be in a different type of relationship, as peers, as adults, but it's always going to be the same. There is nothing that you will give your child, nothing, nothing, nothing you will give your child that is more important than to teach them to love and obey God.
That's the only thing they're
going to do. It's the only thing they leave this planet with. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. The car that I was happy to give it to, I haven't seen it since it was wrecked. He was in it. I don't even see the picture of it. I don't even go down that road anymore. I won't go down I-65. That's what's wrong. It's just me. But I can tell you, there is nothing that I ever gave him that was more important than to teach him to love and obey God. And there is nothing that is of greater value for you than to teach your kids to love and obey God, than to be faithful to him. I'm telling you, there is nothing. And that depends on then on a number of things that you have to do. Is developing a relationship with them that causes them to understand that this is important to you and you are making it important to them.
David.
Yes.
Everything on that list should have that goal in mind. The job, the not interfere.
Yeah. Oh, you're exactly right. Great.
Wife or the husband who will not discourage or interfere with that journey to heaven.
But they have the same purpose.
Right. Mm-hmm. All that. Whether you're a good citizen or not makes a difference in whether you're serving God faithfully. Mm-hmm. All of those. Mm-hmm. The end goal. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Not about success here. That's a byproduct.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, what I want us to think about, and once again, I'm not diminishing any of these things. I don't want to diminish any of these things. But I want to put them. I do want to put them in perspective. The ultimate goal, everything that we do up to get them to this, hopefully there is nobody here that would that's going to experience what we experience. I'm telling you, it's a deep, deep battle. But you come out of it. And it is, all of these things are important because we're going to list some things here in just a minute. And under ordinary circumstances, all things being equal, you're not going to lose them at a young age. They're going to grow to be older, your age, or even mine. I'd say for me to say I'm the oldest one in the room. So, hopefully, nobody is going to experience that. So, I want us to think about, what are the goals that we have for our kids at age 30 or 35, when they are adults? And that's the sort of things that we've talked about here. So, what goals do we have for our kids when they're 30 or 35? Be an adult of right character. Have good character. An adult with right morals. And that's right measured by what? Measured by what? This. Character measured by this. Morals measured by this. That is what we're talking about. An adult with the right ethics. An adult who loves and obeys God. An adult who is a responsible and compassionate citizen. An adult or a child who is a devoted spouse. And a parent who trains his or her child in the way they should go. Because this is a deal that's just supposed to repeat itself from generation to generation. Experience teaches us that it didn't quite work that way. And I'm not talking about just my experience. You can just read the Bible. The Jews, the Israelites, after the third or fourth generation, they just fell away. So you can look in your family. What generation are you? What generation are your kids? I'm just telling you, those are important things to remember. And I don't think it's just because of the generation. I think it depends on how devoted we are to try to pass it on. How do you prepare? How do you prepare yourself so you can prepare your children? You know, that's the way it works in an airplane. We talked about that before. You know, at the beginning of the flight, they always say, if we have an emergency, you could be flying from here to Detroit, and they tell you what it's going to be like if you're over the ocean. But if you are getting on a flight, they tell you that those little masks are going to fall down. If you have a young child with you, put it on yourself first before you put it on the child. And the reason is because if you take the time to put it on the child, then you may have run out of oxygen long enough, you begin to get disoriented, and you can't do it properly yourself. Your child might not be able to help you. So, it's a simple rule that makes sense in the world, and it ought to make sense to us. So, how do you prepare yourself? You be who God wants you to be. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Somebody read that. John, you looking it up?
Yep.
Read this passage. And I want you to think about this. What does this have to do with child rearing? Okay?
Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of